In our study through the different books of the Bible, we've come to Paul's letter to the Ephesians. And I will tell you, I absolutely love this epistle. It, I don't know if it's right to say this, but it may be my favorite. In this letter, Paul makes so clear to us that Christ is all. Christ is all of our salvation. Christ is all of our doctrine. Christ is all of our preaching. And Christ is all in the believer's everyday walk through this world. Christ in the heart will affect our conduct, our walk through this world. And that's certainly true in the case of our subject this morning, the subject of marriage. I don't know anything that affects our everyday life over the course of our lifetime more than marriage does. We spend a lot of time being married. And this morning, I've asked Tara and Eric if they'd bring their classes out here this morning. I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to spend some time with you all this week. And wasn't ready to give up that time of being able to talk to you and teach you a little bit. And I hope that you'll pay very close attention to what God's Word has to say to you about marriage. If you start learning these things now, some of you, Lila, it seems like forever till you're going to be married, doesn't it? It'll come faster than what you think. Some of you will be, it's probably coming sooner rather than later. But if you start learning these things now, learning them from God's Word, you'll be a better husband when it comes time. You'll be a better wife, and you'll have a happier marriage. And to those of us who are already married, we need to be reminded frequently that the foundation of our roles in our marriage as a husband or a wife, that foundation is Christ. Our marriages are pictures of the union that exists between Christ and His bride, and that makes marriage very, very important. So the title of the message this morning is How to Have a Happy Marriage. And Paul speaks to us very plainly. You can't mistake what he's saying here. He speaks to us very plainly of marriage. And he begins speaking to wives. Now, ladies, if you want to know how to be a good wife, it's very simple. All you have to do is look to Christ the Savior. And you'll understand everything you need to know how to be a good wife. If you want to understand why your role in the home is so important, all you have to do is look to the bride of Christ here on this earth, the church. Look at the church's role in this earth, and you'll have a very good understanding of your role in the home. So Paul begins here, Ephesians 5, verse 22, speaking to wives. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Now, a wife is to submit to the authority of her husband. And ladies, I know that crosses the flesh, doesn't it? It crosses the will and the way of the flesh. But Paul's not speaking to the flesh. He's speaking to the Spirit. It's the Spirit. Only the new man can understand true submission and submission to the Lord. And when Paul speaks here about wives submitting themselves to their husband, what he's really speaking of is submitting yourself to the Lord, to the way of the Lord. When you submit to the authority of your husband, what you're really doing is submitting to the authority of the Lord your Savior. Now that puts this matter of submitting to your husband in a whole different light, doesn't it? This is submitting to the way of our Savior. Now, I want to give you a couple things that this submission does not mean. Submission does not mean that a woman has to submit to the authority of every man. That's not what Paul says. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Not to another husband, but to your husband. The one who swore before he took an oath, before God and before whoever happened to be assembled as witnesses, that he's going to love you. He's going to cherish you. That he's going to care for you. You are to submit to your own husband. Just as the church on earth, the bride of Christ, we don't submit to the authority of every religion, do we? Of every Jesus or every Savior that's preached. No, we only submit ourselves to our husband, to our bridegroom, Christ our Savior. The church submits to our bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the same way that wives are to submit unto their own husbands. Second, Submission does not mean that women are second-class citizens. Not at all. A wife does not submit to her husband because she's not as smart as her husband or because she's less of a person than her husband. Absolutely not. I'm going to show you two scriptures. First, in the Philippians chapter 2. If you want to understand willing submission to your husband, all you have to do is look to Christ our Savior. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant. The Prince of Glory became a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're speaking here of Christ, that God the Son willingly submitted himself to his Father. And that's a picture of a woman submitting herself to her husband. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. They see what the apostle's teaching us here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's equal with God. He's equally God in every way. He's equal in every attribute of God. Yet what did the Son do? He submitted himself to his Father. He submitted himself to the will of his Father. And you know why he did it? He did it for the good of his church. He did it for the good of his bride so that she'd be saved. Christ is equal with the Father, but he submitted himself so that his Father is his head. In the exact same way, a wife, your head is your husband. And Christ our Savior submits to that for the good of his church. Now that makes submitting to your husband for the good of your family and the happiness of your family a very beautiful thing, doesn't it? Because it's a picture of what your Savior did for you. Thirdly, submission does not mean that a wife doesn't have a say in what the family will do. She has every right to have a say in what the family will do. God, our husband, hears all of the prayers of his people. And let's be honest, sometimes they're foolish, aren't they? Yet he hears them. Now, husbands, remember this, that we are a picture of Christ in the home. We're not infallible like our Savior is. And we would just be wise to listen to what our wife has to say about, you know, she has input in the things that we'll do. And her ideas may be better than ours. We'd just be wise to listen to them. But that's what submission is not. And wives, I want you to look, if it'll be best for you, if you look at submitting to the authority of your husband as a picture of salvation, it'll help you so much. Look back in our text, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now look at your submission to the authority of your husband as a picture of salvation. Now, where did this thing of submission begin? Where did the thing of the wives being subject to her husband, the husband being the head of the wife, where did that all originate? Well, it began in the garden, didn't it? In the fall, the woman was deceived by Satan. And after that, what did God tell Eve? That your husband will always be your head. He'll always have the authority over the wife. So this submission comes from the fall of man. But it's also a picture of redemption in Christ. Christ is the Savior of the body. We're lost in Adam, but we're saved in Christ. Well, how happily do I submit to Christ my Savior? How happily do I submit to the one who went to such great lengths, who went to such great pains in order to save me? Oh, very happily. I so happily submit to him. Well, wives, look at your submission to your husband in that same way, as a picture of your loving, willing submission to your Savior. The husband is the head of the wife. The husband and the wife are joined in union together. The head needs the body to be complete, and the body needs the head to live. So, wives, don't look at being joined to your husband, having union with your husband, as losing your identity. Don't look at it that way at all. Look at it, that union with your husband, as the fulfillment of your joy, as the fulfillment of the happiness of your life. And I'll give you a couple of examples of things that are very common in our day. In our day, it's getting very popular for wives to keep their maiden name when they get married. Now, you single girls and women here, you listen to me. Don't you do it. Don't do it. Don't keep your maiden name. Not at all. I know what I'm talking about now. Recently, my daughter Holly got married. She was very anxious to take Doug's name. Holly Harden. She's not Holly Tate anymore. She's Holly Harden. And somebody asked me, doesn't that bother you? Not in the least. No, it does not. Matter of fact, if she would have wanted to keep her maiden name, I told her, just what I'm telling you, don't you do it. And I would have told her don't do it because I want her to be glad. I want her to be happy. This is what's best for her. A family has one name. A husband and a wife have one name, not two. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23. I've showed you these before. And every single time I read them, it takes my breath. These two scriptures in Jeremiah. In the garden, there was an article about this in the bulletin a couple weeks ago. God created the man and the woman, and he called their name Adam. He called them by one name. A husband and a wife have the same name. And here's a glorious illustration of that in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 6. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called. This is the name of our Savior. This is the name of the Messiah who's coming, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. What a glorious name of our Savior, the Lord our righteousness. He is our righteousness. Now look over a few pages at Jeremiah chapter 33. Jeremiah 33, verse 16. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. The bride's got the very same name as Christ our Savior, Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Now, can we just consider for a moment how beautiful and how wonderful it is that Christ, my Savior, would let me get rid of my worthless name and be called by His name, to bear His glorious name. Now, ladies, you take the name of your husband and that in light as a picture of that very thing. You have two have one name. Second, women nowadays, they just, you know, women's lib or women's power or wherever it's come from, they don't think they need a man to provide for them and protect them. And you're right, you probably don't. But isn't it beautiful that your husband would want to provide for you, that he'd want to protect you? Isn't it beautiful that your husband would want to do for you as a picture, to provide for you and protect you, just like Christ our Savior gave His own self to provide for His bride and to protect her, to eternally save her and protect her from all damnation, from all judgment. Isn't it beautiful that your husband, who's physically stronger than you, would want to use that strength to protect you and do things for you? You might be able to do them for yourself, but isn't it beautiful that he'd want to do them for you? He's stronger. He's got more ability in that way. Just as Christ our Savior used His strength, His eternal might, to save His people from their sins. Now that makes submitting to the provision and the protection, the strength of your husband all the more beautiful, doesn't it? And then last, wives are to be keepers at home. And this is difficult in our day. It seems like it takes two incomes and it's just a scrape by, and I understand that, but this is the fact of the matter. Both husband and wife can work. The wife's still the keeper. That's just the way it works out. And I know that's got to be, I hear it too often, being a keeper at home has got to be the most difficult job there is. It's a never-ending job. And sadly to say, often it's a thankless job, isn't it? But you know that difficult, thankless job is a glorious job God's given to the wife. Because it's a picture of the job of the bride, the church here on earth. The church is to be keepers at home. We're to be the keepers and the teachers, the providers of God's family, of God's children. And believe me, that what this entails, not just for the pastor, but for every member of the church, it entails changing a lot of spiritually dirty diapers and wiping a lot of spiritually runny noses. But don't you joy in doing it? Don't you joy in doing it? It takes a lot of time and energy to be able to teach God's Word and to be able to support it. But isn't it worth it? Isn't it beautiful? That's the role of the woman, the wife, in the home. Next, Paul has instruction for us husbands. Now, men, you listen very carefully to me. What's been said up to now really hadn't been said to you and me. Now Paul starts talking to husbands. And what God's Word has to say to husbands gives us a more important job and a more difficult job than submitting. Wives submitting to the authority of their husbands. Wives or husbands are to love our wives. Just as Christ loved the church. Husbands are to lead our wives as Christ leads the church. Husbands, you are the head of the home. You're the leader in the home. So the responsibility of a happy home, the responsibility of a well-ordered home rests primarily on our shoulders. Look here, beginning in verse 25, what the Word has to say to husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives. Is there a greater key to marriage than love? Husbands, love your wives. You do whatever it takes to make your wife secure in your love. I remember Brother Henry used the example one time where a couple got married and the husband told his wife, "Now I love you. I don't have to say it again." He says, "Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. You got to say it again." Make her always confident in your love for her. And the specific instruction we have is to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Well, how did Christ love the church? Well, we'll spend the rest of our life, I suppose, talking about that. But let me give you three ways that Christ loved the church. Number one, Christ loved the church sacrificially, self-sacrificing. Christ gave himself. He gave him his whole self, body and soul, for the church. That's how Christ loved the church. Are you thankful? Well, in light of that, men, can't we sacrifice some things for our wives? Maybe it's some of our time. Can we sacrifice some time so she can have some of it, what she needs of it? Maybe it's money. Can we sacrifice some things that we might want so our wife can have what she needs? Would you be willing to do that in light of Christ giving himself for you? Sacrifice whatever is necessary for the good of your wife and do it with joy. It's not a grievous thing. Do it with joy, remembering how Christ gave himself for you. It's a self-sacrificing love. Number two, Christ's love is only for his bride. Christ loves his elect and only his elect. He didn't die for other people. He died for his elect. He didn't die saying, "Well, anybody wants, you know, could come love me." No, he died for his elect. He calls his elect. He does it in love, an everlasting love for them. Husbands, in light of that, be faithful to your wife. Your love is for her and her alone. Not for other women, for her alone. Third, Christ's love for his bride is eternal. He said, "I've loved you with an everlasting love. That's why I drew you. That's why I wooed you and pulled you to me." Scripture says, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them to the end. Christ's love for his bride is eternal. Husbands, love your wife. As Christ loved you, so that's how you're to love your wife. So let's just not have any of this, "I don't love you anymore." That's the best thing I can publicly say about that. Figure it out. Just figure it out. Get it back. I don't care what you got to do. Get it back. Remembering this. Your love for your wife is a picture of Christ's love for you. Pitiful, pitiful example. I'm speaking to myself. I've preached this to myself this week. Pitiful example, but do your best. Just do your best. Show her. Make it a goal to show your wife your love for her. He goes on, verse 26. That, this is why how he loved his wife, self-sacrificially, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, always present your wife in the best possible light. If she's got a fault, don't you ever make fun of her for it publicly. Ever. Don't do it. It's not funny. You think of your blemishes. And when I say blemishes, you know what I mean? I mean open wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been mollified and have any ointment put on them. You think of what our Savior has done with our blemishes. What did He do with them? He covered them with precious blood. He healed them with His blood. And He never brings it up again. Look at Romans chapter 10. I'll show you this. He never publicly shames His people for their sin again, because they're gone under His blood. Romans 10, verse 11. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. If you believe on Christ, if you trust in Christ, you've got nothing to be ashamed of, because the sin that shames you has been put away under His blood. Now, husbands, love your wives that way. And if you've got a, here's another way that you can present your wife in the best possible light. Show her respect. Show her respect. Now, she deserves that. And if you've got a demeaning nickname for your wife, get rid of it. Don't ever let it be spoken again. If you call her the old ball and chain, you call her the old lady, you apologize to her today, and don't ever call her that again. You think of the names the Lord could have called us. That old ball and chain that drug me down to this earth to dwell in a sewer of this earth in order to save them and sent me to be nailed to a cross to die for them. That old ball and chain. The old lady, that old, oh, she's ugly and useless and used up because of sin. That's not what He calls His bride, is it? He calls His people the fairest among women. He calls her my beloved, my dove, my love. If you've got a demeaning nickname for your wife, you get rid of it. You find a sweet one and use that. And husbands, I tell you this. We're talking here how to have a happy marriage. If a man who's happily married is typically speaking happy in his life. Husbands, if you want to be happy in this life, you show love to your wife. If you make her happy, you'll be happy. Don't think, well, I've got to find all these things. I've got to go buy all these things. I've got to go do all these things. I'll do all these different things and give them to myself first to make me happy first. It won't work. First, show your wife love. First, make her happy. If you do, you'll be happy. I can show you that from Scripture. Look here at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, husbands, if you want to be happy, you make sure that your wife knows you love her. You find as many different ways you can think of to show your love for her. Give her tokens of your love. Just, you need me to, you know. Men know how to woo a woman. Just don't let that stop just because you got married. Keep doing it. Keep giving her little love notes and this little tokens of your love for her. If you do that, you'll be happy. And you'll be happy because you've made your flesh, your own flesh, happy. See, if you love your wife, what does the scripture just say? If you love your wife, you're loving your own body. God calls the husband and the wife not two. He calls them one. One flesh. So when you show your wife love and you do whatever it takes to make her happy, you'll be happy because your own flesh is happy. But if you withhold those things that make her happy, you make her unhappy, then you will be too. Because whatever affects the one part of the body always affects the other. And there are two important words here that us husbands ought to take special note of. Nourish and cherish. Husbands, nourish your wives. Nourish your wives and give them what they need emotionally. Give them what they need physically. The exact same way that you nourish your flesh and give your flesh what it needs. Nourish your wife the same way Christ your Savior nourishes you. How He's given life to your soul and He feeds and sustains that, doesn't He? By nourishing you. Do the same thing for your wife. And cherish your wife. Cherish her the same way you cherish keeping your own flesh happy and healthy. You want, if your flesh needs something, you cherish your flesh so much, you get it, don't you? Do the same thing for your wife. She's your flesh. Cherish your wife just like Christ cherishes the church. Nourish and cherish. Isn't that exactly what the Savior's done for His people? The Son of God dwelt in perfection. He dwelt in glory, the Prince of glory, the light of glory, dwelling in perfect harmony and unity with His Father. But He was not complete because the people that He loved, the people that the Father betrothed to Him were not with Him. So Christ our Savior didn't seek His own happiness. He didn't say, well, what can I give to myself to make me happy? He didn't seek His own physical well-being. Christ sought the happiness and the eternal well-being and glory of His people, and He did it at great cost to Himself. You and I can't imagine the cost up to the Savior that the Son of God became a man. We can't imagine the humiliation that He suffered. Then we can't imagine the humiliation, the awful cost that He bore to be made sin for His people. The holy Son of God to be made sin. And then He suffered more than we can imagine, both physically and of the soul. He suffered more than we can imagine. And then He died. And you know how He looked at that? He looked at that horrible ordeal as joy. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. See, if you want to see how to be a good husband, look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Looking unto Him. You just consider Him. It was joy for Him to do that for His bride. And we say, well, you know, I can do that sometimes, but that's hard to sustain. That's why Paul didn't say, look unto Jesus. He said, looking. Keep looking unto Him, because look at verse 3. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. That's why you keep looking to Him, so you won't be weary. You won't be weary in well-doing. You won't faint and quit nourishing and cherishing your wife. Verse 31. This is a good verse for us to look at in the day in which we live. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. Now I'm sad to say that my generation has done a very poor job of raising boys to be men. I see way too many mama's boys in our world today. You boys, when you get older, don't you be a mama's boy. You be a man. I mean, you be a full-grown man. And when you get married, you understand this. Your wife is your first priority. You make her your first priority. Now, of course, you're still going to love your parents. You're still going to love your mother. God says honor them. Honor your parents, not just when you're little, but all the days of your life. You still be a good son and honor your parents. You can be both a husband, a good husband, and a good son. But you're going to have to put your wife's needs first. She's got to be your priority because you're joined to her. You're one flesh with your wife, not your mama. You're one flesh with your wife. So you put her first. Verse 32. Now, this is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. If we want to understand marriage, Paul says it's a great mystery, but it's all a picture of salvation and redemption in Christ. I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, this is the key to a happy marriage. If you consider your marriage to be a picture of the union that exists between Christ and his bride, you'll know what to do in every situation in order to promote a happy marriage. I want to give you just a couple of examples. Boys, young men, and even you married men, you listen to me. Are you listening? Don't ever let these words escape your lips. You're supposed to be in submission to me. Say it. If you do, you're going to be sorry. She already knows that. She knows that. You who believe, let me ask you this question. You know that you're to submit to the will of our God in all things. You know that. You don't need me to tell you. You know that, don't you? You know that you're even to be thankful for something that causes pain or consternation or difficulty in your flesh. Scripture says, you not only do you submit to it, just grit your teeth and get through it. God says, be thankful for it, doesn't he? How are you doing in that? Well, maybe we ought to cut our wife some slack too. She knows she's to be in submission. So instead of reminding her and like you're beating her down, telling her, you've got to be in submission to me, tell you what you do. You focus on loving her. You focus on leading her as Christ loves you and as Christ leads you. Just do your very best to imitate Christ. You who believe, you have an honest, heartfelt desire to submit to Christ, don't you? And you do. You submit to him. You desire to submit to him better. Why? Not because he threatens you with the law or he threatens you with duty or something. You desire to submit to him because of how he loves you. Oh, his love for you. How he's shown that love over and over and over again. How gently he leads you along. That's what makes you desire to submit to him. Then show your wife love like that. And lead her like that. Not harshly. Our Lord, our Savior, is our master. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Then, husbands, we ought to lead our wives the same way. You earn her respect, and she'll follow you anyway. But we ought to make it easy. If we're doing our job right, it will be easy for our wife to submit to us. It really will. And wives, don't take advantage of that. You know that your husband is supposed to do whatever he can do to make you happy. Well, don't take advantage of it. Now remember, think of your marriage in terms of redemption and the church's attitude toward our Savior. All of our sin is forgiven. Completely forgiven. So that the Savior never brings it up again. I don't care how much sin you think you have or how vile you think your sin is. It's all forgiven under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, does that mean I can just go out and sin more and more and more and not have to worry about it? Shall we sin that grace may abound? Paul asked. God forbid. No, I won't do that because I love him, because I respect him, because I desire to honor my Savior. Then have the same attitude towards your husband. Make it possible for him to make you happy. Just make it possible. And husbands, you make it your business to make your wife happy. And if you do, you'll have a happy marriage. All right. Lord bless you.